You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch, with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
And you are officially on the couch with Dr. Michelle. That's me on the radio here on LA Talk Radio, the country's most listened to talk radio station. Welcome, as always, on my couch. We're going to have an almost hour of wonderful information for you, especially if you need some help with your relationships, which we all do, no matter what kind of relationships we have. Romantic, friendship, family, just out there in the world working with folks. We all need it. So let me ask you some questions out there, folks. Do we really have some disconnects or problems stored in our subconscious mind? You all have heard of the subconscious mind. I talk about that a lot, people. I talk about Freud, the origination of talk therapy and all that good stuff, which helps. But do these subconscious messages, do they run every moment of our lives? Does that happen to us? Does it greatly affect our relationships? Well, can we change those old programs from negative experiences or messages that we bought into and that we've had all of our lives just kind of lurking, right? Can we create healthier and happier relationships? Well, we can. The good news is we can, according to my guest and author, therapist, Allie Bierman. She's the author of the book, the latest book she's written. It's called Romance Killers, The Top 7 Mistakes That Doom Relationships. Now, you're going to love this because this will really help you out today. Really think about it. We're not going to be able to cover as much information as I'd like, as always. But I'd like to welcome you to the show, Allie. Nice to have you on the air with me today.
Thanks so much, Dr. Michelle. I'm very excited to be here.
Wow, it's great to have you. Loved your book. It really was very helpful to me in, you know, working with clients as well. I always discover new information from therapists such as yourself, authors, who can really reach out and help other people from many standpoints. And what I love about your book, Allie, is that you look at, you know, the subconscious mind, which is old school psychodynamics, but you also work with spirituality. You also work with the quantum world, which has been around for really a long time, but is really new to a lot of people, the concept. So what really inspired you to write this book? And again, it's called Romance Killers, The Top 7 Mistakes That Doom Relationships.
Well, I have a lot of readers, and I frequently ask them to send me their questions, what it is that they'd really like me to address.
Right.
And most of the issues that people ask me about are relationships.
Right.
And there are also a whole lot of themes that are pretty common. Mm-hmm. So I pretty much pulled those together, put them in the book. But then I tend to look at life differently from other people.
Yes.
So I want to present another way, another perspective for people to look at things. Because, well, we all know if you keep doing the same thing, you're going to keep getting the same result.
That's right. That's the, what is that? The definition of insanity, I guess they say. I hate that word. I hate labels. But it's true. You keep doing the same thing and expecting the same results. You're going to get the same, and expecting different results, rather. You're going to get the same results that keep happening to you. You've had quite a life, young lady. You've had things happen to you in your life that are profound and changed your life. Can you share a little bit of that with us?
Oh, yeah. So what got me into this whole world with the You Create Your Reality thing was when I was working as a psychotherapist, I was working in crisis care. I had very, very dangerous clients.
Yes.
I knew that. Mm-hmm. And one night, one of them attacked me and left me disabled with a brain injury.
Oh, my God.
Ended that career in it.
Good
heavens. Took me 3 years to come back. And
oh, my goodness.
What I did is I discovered the whole orb of energy and specialized kinesiology.
Yes.
And interestingly, when things in the world didn't make sense, every course that I took in kinesiology, I got it right away. I said, okay, here's a message.
Yes.
And what I do now, I can help people faster, deeper. I don't have to rely on their conscious mind as you do in talk therapy.
Yes.
And I don't ever want anybody to hear the words that I heard, this is as good as it gets, learn to live with it. Because
right.
I chose not to buy into that paradigm, and I'd like other people to know there's another possibility.
You know, you're lucky, and you're a bright woman because you chose the other path. There's so many people that if they had been attacked as you were and suffered a brain injury and had to recover, took 3 long years of trying to get, literally get back on your feet and function. You know, a lot of people would have said, you know, this is the way it is, I'm giving up. But you chose to forge ahead. You chose to get that strength within you, probably because you were always positive and spiritual. You have a good heart because you wanted to help people. And that was sort of where you're at. You're centered in, I'm allowing others to, you know, kind of get some information that I have. So you have that strong spirit within you, I think. And this is so cool because I think you can inspire a lot of people here today.
Yeah, and I did just want to make a point to what you're talking about, Dr. Michelle. People kept telling me I was an inspiration, but through my eyes, I had a choice. Lie
yes.
around the rest of my life not participating
yes.
or do what it took to get better.
Yes.
So I didn't see it as an inspiration. I saw it as, I want life.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and it's just amazing. You're one of those amazing people that springs back and comes back to help everybody. You sort of went through a transformation, and your information in all of your books, actually, that I have read that you've sent me, is very loving and very spiritual, and it's wonderful that you have had. I mean, most of therapists have had issues in their lives. That's why they become therapists. So they try to figure things out, rough times, the rough spots, how to get through the rough spots, and think it's probably an important thing to share that with other folks so they can feel good too. So.
Absolutely.
Thanks for sharing that story. I really appreciate it, Allie. Let's get to your book, The Top 7 Mistakes That Really Can Ruin Relationships. Let's just kind of briefly touch on the top 7, and then, because I know everybody's going, whoa, what? Huh? What is that? We can get into each one individually.
Okay. Well, the first one that I see as primary is not knowing what attracts people to each other.
Uh-huh.
And then, yeah. The second is not clarifying for yourself
yes.
who your ideal partner is.
Hmm. Okay.
And three is not knowing your core values or not knowing your definition of
yes.
love.
Ah, okay.
Five is poor communication skills. That one we pretty much all know about.
Yeah.
Hopefully the way I present it, people hadn't thought of these solutions. Six is seeing your partner as your other half.
Hmm.
And seven is being emotionally lazy and staying in a painful relationship.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think we all have done probably all of those things. When you look back, I should have done that. Or maybe, why do my relationships keep failing? Because they do keep repeating some of those same problems. At this particular point now, let me invite anybody who would like to call in and ask Allie a question at 323-203-0815, 323-203-0815. And also, of course, you can instantly write me here on the air, if you'd like, if you have a question, at docmichelle@aol.com. I've got that pulled up. I will happily take any questions you may have. But what I'd like to do is jump into this first point. You say that not knowing what attracts people to each other is a big mistake, first of all. Number one, that can ruin relationships. What do you mean by that?
Well, people think that they want to be together because they share common interests, yeah. They have common likes, dislikes, they feel compatible, comfortable together, they enjoy each other's company. Maybe one fills in traits that the other's lacking, like a shy woman would be attracted to an outgoing man,
yes.
Or a man who prefers not to live in his feelings would be attracted to a woman who easily expresses her feelings. And then there's that other piece of sexual attraction, but that's kind of a side note because sex is physical and love is emotional, and they're really two different things.
Yes.
So the thing is that your attraction has nothing to do with what you think, what's going on.
Yeah.
What causes you to attract the people you do is happening in your subconscious mind, so it's all done unconsciously.
And that's a tough one for a lot of people because they say, well, how do I, and we'll talk about this and bring this up a little bit later, but if it's stuck deep down in there because of old messages, right, that's pretty much where we get a lot of that stuff from old messages growing up.
Absolutely.
The messages from our caregivers, whoever they may have been, and or friends, schoolmates, workmates, relationships, you're not good enough. You're not pretty enough, you're not intelligent, you're not handsome enough, you're not enough of enough. And we buy it, and it's embedded into our subconscious. So everything that we think is sort of a reflection. And if someone just says a statement to you that's probably carrying, you may interpret it, no matter what, as a negative thing. So we stuff that stuff down. And
Yeah.
So it is the subconscious. What are two important forces that attract us to our partners?
Well, first one is you attract people who are like you. If you stop a moment, think of your five closest friends. You're very similar. You have similar tastes, probably similar income, hobbies, activities, the things you like, the homes you live in, the cars. They're all going to be pretty much the same as you.
Right.
And then the other thing that attracts us, which is really, really powerful coming from the subconscious mind, is feeling the energy of the other person as being the same as your early caretaker. I know this one sounds a little out there, but if you look in your life and you keep attracting the same kind of problematic relationships, you say, boy, you're just like my father, or boy, you're just my mother.
Yeah.
That's why. You're attracting the person because this time you want to get it right. You want to finally fix that issue.
Yes.
You're not thinking any consciously, but that's how it happens.
Right. So it's sort of, let me bring this person into my life who is a lot like my dad, who was very negative and whatever, and this time I'm going to try to fix it. But usually you never do. Is that what you're saying, Allie?
Well, it does when you recognize what you're doing. Like, for instance, this is a real story of a friend of mine. She was talking about the problem she was having with her boss and how it was just like the same problem she had with her dad. And this was the first time I ever heard it. I was thinking, man, why don't you quit? And then out of her mouth comes, so all I do is send him lots of love. I'm thinking, wow, that's a different way to live. It's really opened my eyes.
Yes.
And then a few weeks later, she reported back and said, everything's great with my boss. Not only that, but everything's great with my dad. Now, she had only worked on the relationship with her boss.
Wow.
But how you do anything is how you do everything. And it corrected, because it corrected her perspective and her feelings and her energy around all those issues.
And when we correct it by just saying send them love and understand that they had a difficult life possibly, and it's hard for us to dig deep and try to understand why others, are harmful to us. But once we sort of don't put back the negative energy or fear, I guess, towards a boss or towards someone who hurt us in the past, when we can just send them love, that starts the process of creating a positive change in them as well, is what you're saying.
Absolutely, because as we've been discussing, everything happens out of your awareness.
Right.
People always show up as you expect them to.
Mm.
So if you're sending somebody all that love and understanding, just unconditionally, which love's always unconditional.
Yes. Yes.
It will show up that way in your life. They'll start changing. So you don't have to force anything or go through any great traumas. And mm-hmm. you can recognize that they came into your world for a reason, because that's what you do. You push each other's buttons.
Yep.
Otherwise, how are you going to learn and grow and change?
Right. I mean, I always say that the human experience is about lessons. And I know some people say, why would a God, or why would somebody give me such horrible human experiences? Because I'm truly in pain and I'm suffering and I'm, you know, trying to work through being abused and all this. And I try to say that this is our chance to really learn what we got into and how we can work through these things. That exactly what you did, Allie. You know, when you were attacked and had your brain injury, you worked through it. You decided to get through it and learn.
Yeah, it's a matter of my family and friends could not understand why I held no anger toward that person.
Yes.
And it's because I knew
yes.
that she was there to help me change my life.
Oh, my goodness.
I knew I belonged in a different workplace, and I did not take action. And I call it hearing the whispers of the universe but ignoring them, so the universe gets loud. And if you don't watch out, you get hit over the head with a 2x4 or the hand of somebody who weighs 420 pounds.
Wow, that was a big 2x4 for you, honey.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
So when you can look at all the people in your life who you believe hurt you, and I'm not saying they didn't hurt you,
mm-hmm.
but they're in your life so that you have a choice.
Mm.
I teach people to write a list of everybody who's ever hurt you in that particular incident, then go back, and this is the hard part for many people, say thank you to each one of them. And you thank them because of who you got to be to change your life. Like, I worked with someone a couple of years ago who was in a very abusive relationship, and she decided, I'm not doing this anymore. It was physically abusive. He almost killed her.
Oh, boy.
And she left.
Yeah.
She got to say, no more, I'm changing my life. And she's doing really well now.
Oh, that's great. Good for her. It's so nice to hear those stories, you know, of people who have chosen to change and chosen to move on and take care of themselves. So we can't really, I mean, we can try by looking at others positively, like your friend you were talking about who changed her thought about sent love to. Can we change or send love to people who are abusers or, you know, murderers? Let's even go a step farther. Can we do that kind of thing? And is it up to them to learn their life's lessons to change?
There's a very interesting concept, which is, it's kind of blessings. I'm sorry, I'm not remembering the name of the psychiatrist out in Hawaii who did this. He worked in a hospital for the criminally insane.
Oh,
and he did
yes.
the Hawaiian Ho'oponopono.
Yes.
Well, I say those blessings. I'm also a metaphysical minister, so I have a tree of life, and I use that technique every single day for everybody on my tree of life.
Yes.
And he never met with any of those people, but he was just changing the energy around it, and the whole thought is, if you're in my awareness, it's because there's a part of me that needs healing.
Right.
And I know this is all so-called New Age. We are all one. We are all connected. What you put
yes.
out will come back to you.
Right.
So by taking care of, and the words are simple. It's, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you, that he spent time with each record. Mm-hmm. They closed down the hospital, calling those people heal.
Yes. He sent that positive energy to everyone. So we must all, in other words, take more responsibility for our thoughts, of course, our actions towards other. And if we did, if we were more loving, and do we need to be understanding to try to, do we all need to be little psychologists in our life and say, well, you know, this person is so cruel and hurtful to me, or is suffering and angry because they were abused or they haven't figured it out. But do we all have to, do you think, sort of know why people are doing things? Or if can we just send them love and just say, wow, I see they're suffering. I love them.
Yeah, send them love, because the bottom line is each of us is a divine spirit having a human experience. And when I get upset or annoyed with somebody, I catch myself.
Yes.
That's where I go. I remember I see that person as a divine spirit who they really are. And it's like this instant change for me.
That's wonderful. And do you say to yourself, well, I know that because of their experiences, they sort of went through this, and I know who they are. I know who we all are. Even the worst of the worst, the antisocial people who are all in prison, they really do have a good spirit within them, but for some reason their journey here is to harm others? Their journey is to learn how to become better people?
In part of the book, I talk about soulmates, and the media has created this definition, this vision of a soulmate as, oh, I'll find my soulmate, I'll know true love, and everything will be paradise.
Right.
I don't think that's what a soulmate is. A soulmate is somebody who comes into your life to force you to make changes by being in your face. I wrote an example of, say on the soul level before you incarnate, that there's soul A and soul B, and they have so much love for each other that soul A agrees to come into the lifetime being horrible, physically abusive, just as bad a person as you can imagine, so that soul B gets a chance, like the young woman I talked about earlier, to decide, am I going to grow and change, or am I going to suffer?
Yes.
So the so-called bad people, I know it's a real challenge to look at them that way, but if you look at them as, wow, thank you, you helped me. And that's true of any emotionally physical issue going on in your body.
Right.
It's always,
always
a gift from the universe. So you can wake up and say, oh, I can make this all different.
Yes. And the way to make it different is to say, thank you for helping me learn this. And possibly ask, what do I need to know for why this happened to me? Or are you waiting for answers, do you suggest? Or
I think the easiest way to do it is just ask, what do I need to change about how I'm being to make the difference?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you need to go back and look for the answers. Which that was where I really have a different feeling about talk therapy.
Yes.
I think you just need to know to move forward.
Yes.
And I think the reason I think that is when you're moving forward and asking, what do I need to do to change?
Right.
You're creating new file folders.
That's right.
You stuff those file folders. You stop feeding the old ones.
That's
they'll
right.
eventually wither away, and you live from your new file folders, your new behaviors.
That's right. And, you know, the neurons that are, you know, firing together on a constant basis in our brains, thinking about the negatives going on, they're wiring together. They continue to reinforce those old beliefs. Relive how your mother beat you. Let's relive another day in therapy about how painful and how she beat you. You know, it's like, no. Okay, we acknowledge it. We get it. We got the pain. Now let's move forward. Let's change those neural patterns of, I am a victim. Let's be, I am here to learn, and I love that which I am. So,
yeah. It's great to hear you say that.
Oh.
The facility where I was working, one of the therapists, his goal was always to get the client to cry during the session. I thought, why? What is he doing?
Yeah, right.
Why do I feel their pain?
Oh, yes, exactly. And, you know, I'm all for crying and cleansing, but we get to a point where if we keep running over and over and reiterating, as I mentioned, you know, it is reinforcement of any thought, any behavior. The more we do it, we're reinforcing. And, you know, in a quantum world, we're building up those barriers where others can't really penetrate the love. You know what I'm saying?
And I love the way you put it a few minutes ago when you said you're causing them to live it over again. That's a fact. You're literally, physically causing a person to release all the chemicals. So if they were good chemicals, well, that's excellent.
Yes.
But if they were bad feeling chemicals, you're hurting your health.
That's so true. Allie, we do have a caller on the line. I'm going to pull that person up, if okay. By the way, you're on the air with my special guest, Allie Bierman. She's the author of Romance Killers, The Top 7 Mistakes That Doom Relationships. And let's say hi. Who's this?
Hi, this is Stan.
Hi, Stan. How are you today?
I'm very good. I'm very glad that you're talking about this subject. It's not me that I'm talking about. It's my daughter.
Okay.
I have a 23-year-old daughter.
All right.
And she is having a romantic relationship with a convict in prison.
Oh, okay.
And you were talking about the people in prison and things like that. And
yeah.
I've got to figure a way to get her away from this person.
Hmm.
Do you have any suggestions?
Allie, it's all you, girl.
Well, your daughter is responsible for her life and her choices, and you don't really know why she's choosing what she is, but the thing is, she's her own person, and we don't always like what our kids are doing, but we also don't know what her past is, and don't know what the path of that other person is. So
yeah.
Allowing her to keep sending her love, and I'm sure she knows how you feel, and you might talk with her to see what's going on with her, because she's fulfilling a need in that relationship. And I don't know how your relationship is with her. What I do know is if you show a protest toward what your child's doing, I know my kids have been with partners I wasn't crazy about, but I also knew if I made a choice to tell them I don't like the person, that would drive them toward the person.
Absolutely.
They need to be independent. They need to be responsible for who they are in the world, who they're attracting, what they're doing. Plus, I mean, you have no way of knowing. As I said, you don't know her past. Maybe it's something that's going on temporarily, or maybe it's someone. I mean, I have a number of friends who have adult children who are in prison for drugs and various things. And I know they're good people, and sometimes they were friends, and sometimes they made stupid choices.
Mm-hmm.
But I know they're good people. So there are just so many unknowns there. And the bottom line is your daughter's responsible for her life. And obviously, as a parent, you want to protect her. But making the choice of who's good for her or who isn't, you're not God.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
It's very tough. This person, this young man, is in prison for 8 years, and she sees him every 2 weeks, and I don't know what to do. They've been having a relationship now for 2 years, and I'm lost, because I just don't think that this person is the right person for him, or for her.
And if that's true, at some point she'll recognize it. So the only person you can change, was it Dan or Stan?
What did you say, Allie?
I didn't catch if his name is Dan or Stan.
Stan.
But anyway, the only person you can change is you. So if you can go inside and see how you can change your feelings toward your daughter as an independent person, as a responsible adult, because part of the message that it's possible, I'm not saying it's happening, but it's possible for her to interpret is you don't trust her judgment. So you need to be okay yourself with the situation that's going on and trust that she's taking care of herself. Regardless of what happens, you're only able to change how you feel in any situation.
Right. That's right.
The toughest thing for me is allowing this, seeing her literally in a relationship where it's a no-win situation. And this young man is violent, and I'm very worried about her. So it's going to be a tough call for me to just sit back and allow her to make these mistakes. So
Maybe that's part of your lesson. Maybe that's part of your lesson, Stan, is that this is a good lesson for you, and I think Allie would agree with me that your lesson is to just allow and let her learn her lessons.
Easier said than done.
What?
Easier said than done.
I know. Maybe you might suggest your daughter go to, a therapist to work out why she needs to complete this, information that she needs to get her this, why she needs to maybe she needs to understand why she's in this relationship a little better. What would you suggest, yes, Allie?
Well, one thing, as I said before, you can never change anybody else. And
right,
if the daughter's in the relationship hoping he'll change, that's the hugest, most dangerous myth out there.
Yeah.
So what you suggested, that maybe she should go talk to somebody so she'll understand why. Everything you just said, I don't need to repeat it.
Right, right.
But that could be helpful for her. It may or may not give some relief to you, Stan, but she needs to take care of it herself, because so long as you're protesting it, it's driving toward it, and it might be clouding her ability to see what she's doing, why she's doing it. Because remember, if we're attracting people into our lives from a subconscious place, and she doesn't really know why she's doing it, so maybe she can look at that, which she probably doesn't want to do right now, because most people don't believe all that stuff.
Right. So maybe just send her love, Stan, and allow her to find her own truth. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I'll do the best I can. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. You take good care. Thanks so much for calling. All righty. Yeah, that's very interesting, because that's a dilemma. We want to help our children. We really do. We want them to feel better and be happier. But sometimes that's we have to pull back. I want to get onto your book, by the way. If you just tuned in to LA Talk Radio on the Couch with Dr. Michelle, my special guest today is Allie Bierman. She's a therapist and author of Romance Killers, The Top 7 Mistakes That Doom Relationships. And we're working on those top 7 mistakes. Yeah, it's... You say that not knowing our core values can ruin relationships. Now, don't most people kind of know what their values are? And why is knowing these values so important to us in helping us with relationships?
I think it's a very rare person who really and truly knows their deep core values. The core values are what are running your life. And I teach people how to discover what your core values are. Because if I say, well, take out a pen and paper and just write down your 10 top values, things that are important to you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, people probably come up with 10 things. Mm. But then if I tell you, now look at each one and tell me where it's coming from, why is that a value of yours? Is it something that happened in your life you want to get away from? Or is it something you're moving towards? So let me clarify that with an example.
Okay.
Most of my life, until I learned this information, my top value was honesty and truth.
Yes.
And when I learned all this and I looked at it, I discovered that's because all of my life, from the time I was a little kid, lots of people lied to me.
Right.
Lots of people don't live in integrity.
Right.
So my having that as a core value, it was something I was moving away from. That wasn't serving me.
Yes.
So when I discovered it was an away from rather than a moving towards, I redid my values.
Mm-hmm.
And now love is my number one value. And I also teach a way of discovering the priority of your values, which is important because you might come up with a situation in life where you have to make a choice where it's conflicting between maybe one or two of your values. So by knowing the priority, it's going to help you with your choice. When you don't know what your core values are, you don't understand why you're maybe not having successes in your life, in your business, in your relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because you're working against those values just because you don't know that they're there.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. It really does. Allie, why is it important for us to know our definition of love, our definition of love?
I think that's one of the biggest ones in my life.
Yes.
See, we each feel love differently. We each know we're loved differently.
Right.
One person might need to hear the words, I love you. Another person might need to be hugged. Another person might want to get notes in their lunch or on their pillow. Each of us is different.
Yes.
And when we're in a relationship with somebody, we don't realize that. And we're doing our best to make them happy by showing them love the way we see love, the way we want to be loved. I think the golden rule is wrong. I think it's not unto others as you would have them do unto you. I think it's do unto others the way they want you to do unto them. A clear example is in my marriage, I'm very artistic.
Yes.
And for me, if you give a gift, you make it. So I might book, I might make a painting, but whatever it is, I'll spend weeks on it, and it's just full of my love.
Yes.
I was married to somebody who didn't like handmade gifts, so I'd make him this gift, and he'd open it, not be excited, and it would get tucked away in his drawer.
Oh, that's not good.
Well, you see, I felt underappreciated and devalued. Now, he was always trying to buy me something that he really liked.
Aww.
But he always bought it in his taste, which was different from mine. So I'd open up the gift, look disappointed. He'd get all angry. So it wasn't that we didn't love each other.
Right.
It was that we didn't know how to tell each other love in the way the other person could understand.
Yes.
And when I figured all this out, and I figured exactly what I needed from him, and we were married 21 years, and I went to him shortly before we decided to get divorced. And I said, this is what I need you to do. This is what I need you to say so I know love. Didn't even think about it. He just said, I can't do that.
Wow.
So right then and there, I said, I know this marriage can't last much longer.
Yes.
So you have to know. And as soon as you know, you tell your partner. You tell the people in your world and ask them. Because it's just a huge misunderstanding. And all these people are going through life being absolutely cherished and thinking they're not loved, not appreciated.
Right. It's so true. So let's get right to it. What are some of the things or steps that we have to take to feel happy and loved? I mean, how can we know that others love us?
Well, first of all, you have to love yourself first.
Right.
Nobody can love you until you love yourself first because you're putting out that kind of energy.
Right.
How do you love yourself first? You're teaching people, you're training them how to treat you by how you treat yourself.
Yes.
Well, to really know and love yourself first, and this gets into the spiritual realm for me, you have to know who your higher self is, because your higher self is who you were at birth before all those programs got fed into your subconscious mind. So learning how to meditate, learning how to contact your higher self, learning how to communicate. Your higher self's talking to you all day long, sending you messages, but until you actually sit down and figure this out, you miss them because you don't know the language that they're coming in.
That's right. Boy, that
clutter. That's the first thing.
That clutter gets in the way, doesn't it?
Yeah, and you just have no idea. I mean, you could be... I was thinking riding on the subway when I visit my kids in New York, and there's signs on the subway, and there might be a word up on one of those advertisements.
Yes.
Or you might be standing in line someplace and overhear just a snippet of communication. Or one of my friends was telling me she was riding in her car listening to a station she always listened to, and suddenly it was in Spanish. She said, that station's never in Spanish, and I've been knowing it when they were in Spanish, and that was my message. So they're all... It comes in all kinds of ways. You just need to know how to look. And when you know how to communicate with your higher self, you can just ask questions right then and there and always get accurate information.
Right.
So the first thing you want to do is be in touch with your higher self.
Right.
And then you want to know what it... Well, and of course, knowing your definition of love. And you need to be the person that you want to attract, who is loving. So if you want to have more of something, you need to give it away. If you want more love in your life, you need to give love.
That's
if you want to... We all have friends in our life to remind us of what we know, but we sometimes forget. I was talking to a friend one day, and I said, you know, I want to attract somebody who's really, really happy. And she said, well, just be happy. It's like, duh. You just need to be be that loving person, and you will attract loving people. And how do you know that they're loving you? Because you feel good. You feel fed. You feel nourished. You feel fulfilled.
It's true. Yes. Mm-hmm. So many people, you know, we all have self-esteem issues, right? Or we're not happy with certain aspects of our lives. So is it difficult for a lot? I mean, it's easy to say, and we've been hearing it for a long time, you know, love yourself first, and then things will open up for you. How can we forgive ourselves for so many things that we've beat ourselves up for so many years?
Well, it's recognizing that everything that you do in your life, you're doing for a reason. You're doing it to grow. Mm. And the people who are in your life because you push each other's buttons.
Right.
So you're serving the purpose. And I know I've certainly had a lot of guilt issues. I'm going through all of that myself, releasing things. I thought I had already released, but no, there's still more. So I think I love the way Edwin Gaines describes it. Mm-hmm. She said, how do you know if you still have some forgiveness to do?
Yes.
Simple question.
Yes.
Do you have a body? In other words, so long as you're here in a body, you still have more forgiveness issues to work on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a matter of allowing yourself to accept that some things were done. I believe that if you can see how you grew from it, who you got to change by allowing yourself to do it, that's the only way to get through to there.
Yeah. And another, and you also talk about this too, and I really get that, is not only loving yourself, but the way to do it is try to forgive yourself for all those little things that you do to beat yourself up. Forgive yourself. It's okay. You know what? We all have fears. We all have narcissism to a certain extent, which we have to work on. We all have, you know, said things hurtful to other people. We have to just be humans and say, I forgive myself, and I'm going to try to love myself and say, hey, I'm going to try to change these things and learn from, you know, the way that I feel. I don't want to be this kind of person, but I'm going to forgive myself for some of the things that I've done because I'm not going to hang on to this anymore. You know?
You're the one in charge of you. And if, you know, people who say, I can't help it, that's the way I am. I can't help it, that's my personality. That's a lot of BS.
Right.
You can help it. You make a choice in every moment who you want to be. Yes, you might have a pattern, so recognize your pattern. You're not going to recognize it until you look for it.
Right.
And how can you look for it? Well, who's in your world? What kind of events are you attracting in your world? What kind of energy do you have to be putting out to make all that happen?
Right.
And that's your choice to change it.
Yeah, it's so true. And speaking about change, you know, your seventh mistake in ruining people's chances to have healthier relationships is when other people are emotionally lazy and they continue to stay in these painful relationships. What are some of the reasons? Why do people do this? Why do they stay in these painful relationships?
Well, for women who are in my generation, most of us were stay-at-home moms.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a number of friends in unhappy marriages because they can't support themselves.
Yes.
So they stay in the marriages because they need the financial support. And a lot of them are really, really unhappy, which means they're damaging their health and they don't trust themselves. You know, when you're in your 50s and your 60s, and women don't realize what a resume they have from the schools they've had running the home. They just think there's nothing they can do to go out and earn a living for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I have other friends who really want to get divorced because there's all kinds of stuff going on. It was clear they shouldn't be together anymore. They say they can't afford it. Getting a divorce costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I bet that's probably true for a lot of people.
Right.
You know,
No, it's so true. Yeah. I agree
with
you.
And then,
You know, Allie, we have another caller on the line. Would you be willing to take another call real fast here?
Sure.
Okay, great. Let's see who's on the air with us. Hi, you're on the air with Allie Bierman. This is Dr. Michelle. Who's this? Are you there? Hello. Okay, they're not coming through. I'm just going to move on from that call then. So anyway, we were talking about, you know, moving on, and people have to try to figure out how to get out of a painful relationship, right? Is that what
you're saying? Yeah, and there is also another point. The divorce process takes you through a gamut of emotions. Mm-hmm. It's painful. Mm-hmm. It takes energy mm-hmm. and effort. And even if you know you need to end the relationship, it's not easy. And
right.
most people don't want to put forth that effort and go mm-hmm. through all
yeah.
that pain.
So true. It's so true. It's a lot of work, and it is painful sometimes. But again, you said it's about learning lessons. Something that I really enjoyed reading in your book, by the way, if you just tuned in, my special guest is Allie Bierman. She's a therapist and author of the book Romance Killers, The Top 7 Mistakes That Doom Relationships. I really enjoyed, you say the accurate formula, and I really enjoyed reading about this, for successful, fulfilling relationships is 1 plus 1 equals 1 plus 1. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Yes, especially in my generation, and I still hear it today, people introduce their partner as their better half,
yes.
as their other half.
Yes.
And a lot of people live in relationships with, they're so caught up in being the partnership that they lose their identity,
right.
which is very dangerous, because if something happens to the one partner and your identity is all wrapped up in being a couple, then you'll be pretty much devastated. The thing, when you come to a relationship, you're bringing you to the table.
Mm-hmm.
You're bringing all your characteristics, all your likes, dislikes. You're bringing all that you're going to push the buttons in your partner.
Mm-hmm.
And bringing all your talents and all the good things, too. So it's important that you each maintain your individuality. Have your own set of friends. Have the activities and hobbies you want to do yourself.
Yes.
And also have a set of friends where you do things together, the activities that you do things together, but never at the expense of one partner. So if you're going to concerts, you're going because both of you want to go to the concert. It's not taking turns. I'll do what you like next time. We'll do what I like.
Mm-hmm.
It's maintaining, knowing who you are,
mm-hmm.
which
exactly.
people get into relationships without knowing who they are.
Exactly.
So
true.
You are in maintaining your individuality.
So true. Beautiful. Okay, we have another caller up on the line. Shall we try to take this? We just have a couple of minutes left here on the show, but let's see what we can do, okay? All right,
sure.
here we go. Hi, you're on LA Talk Radio with Dr. Michelle and Allie Bierman. Who's this? For some reason, we're having trouble with our connection here on the air. So one more time. Can you hear us on the air? Okay. All righty. We'll just wait for that caller maybe to call back if they'd like. But what I'd like to do is let listeners know how they can get in touch with you, get a hold of your book, The Romance Killers, The Top 7 Mistakes That Doom Relationships. And also, you have wonderful ebooks that are online as well that you offer for people in terms of just working through a lot of their own issues, becoming a little bit more self-loving. You know, you really provide a lot of wonderful information on your blogs, on your informational pieces, on your classes, your books. So how can people get in touch with you?
The easiest way is, my email is info mm-hmm. at howtohaveamazingrelationships.com.
That's great.
And that's my website. Also, if you're on Facebook, it's facebook.com/howtohaveamazingrelationships. And I'm on my blog and I'm on Facebook every single day. It's a good way to communicate with me. If you have personal questions that you don't want showing up in the public, emailing
sure.
me would be the best way to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And to get hold of my book on Amazon, I think the easiest way is to go. I made a short URL. It's http://. It's budurl.com
mm-hmm.
/romancekillers.
Okay.
So that's budurl.com/romancekillers. If you do a search in Amazon for my name, you'll find that I have a few other books up there and a lot of other books that I'll be adding.
You sure do.
And if you want, I'm giving you a lot of information here. If you want to take a look at most of my products, because I make things constantly, if you go to Live, this is a www.live,
mm-hmm. right.
in happinessnow.com mm-hmm. mm-hmm. /store, store, .html, you'll see all kinds of products.
Yeah, you have a lot of goodies there. And what I'm going to be doing is putting this information up in the archive. So if you missed part of the show today, or you'd like to hear it again, if you listened and you'd like to get more information and get a hold of Allie's book, you can just click onto the links that I'll provide in the archives, which will be ready here on LA Talk Radio tomorrow morning, as well as on iTunes for free in the iTunes store under On the Couch with Dr. Michelle. That easy. Allie, thank you so much for being on the show. It's just been a pleasure. You're a lovely person.
Thank you very much. I absolutely love your show. I listen to all your shows in the archives.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you for being out there to help and inspire people. You've come through a huge journey and survived brain injury. And somehow I think you were meant to go ahead and share this information with people to help their lives. That's what I think you're about. So take good care, Allie. And God bless. And we'll be talking soon. I'll have you on again with your other books. That'd be great.
Thanks so very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Take good care now. Bye-bye. All right. Again, that's Allie Bierman. And the latest book we're talking about is Romance Killers, The Top 7 Mistakes That Doom Relationships. If you have any questions or comments, of course, you can contact me, Dr. Michelle, here. And it's docmichelle@AOL.com. Doc, D-O-C, Michelle with two L's at AOL.com. Love to hear from you. Or, of course, my website right there on the link here to the webpage, drmichelletherapy.com. You can contact me. Let me know what you think. I'm on Facebook as well. Find me there. Have a wonderful day. And as I always do say, do take care of yourself first, because then you'll be great for other people as well. See, that's how it works. You can stay on the couch if you like. More great shows coming up, along with CBS News. Talk to you next Friday. Same time here, 11 a.m. on the couch on LA Talk Radio. Bye-bye.